Welcome to our evening vespers. Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done. We have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. Lift up your hearts with comfort and joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, Please be seated for our lesson. Our scripture reading for tonight is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was a child, when I would hear this story, I always wonder, what was it like, that first step on the water for Peter? What was that first planting of your heel and the ball of your foot down onto that water, and then to kind of lean into it a little bit? And what was that like? If measurable, what kind of confidence did he have that he wasn't going to sink? What kind of confidence did he have in Jesus' promise at that moment? But as he pushed down on that water and realized that the Lord was going to allow him miraculously to walk, must have been quite a moment. And we think of what kind of conviction that took. Peter, as a fisherman, he knew the Sea of Galilee very well. It's a deep sea and has some, because of that, has some difficult storms on it at times, probably some large waves. And who knows, maybe he'd fallen out of his fishing boat a few times. He certainly knew what it meant to maybe be in peril. But the context here is very interesting. This story takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000. He had just witnessed this amazing miracle. He was one of the ones that went around with the baskets to pick up the remainder of food that was left over after this tremendous miracle of Jesus. And he had just witnessed the miraculous power of the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is both true man and true God, and able to do things that would contradict the laws of nature so obviously. And so Jesus had just demonstrated his own power over the rules and laws, we might think, of nature, because he was the God of all creation, not only by providing this huge amount of food, but then also by himself coming out on the water to such an extent that the disciples thought he was a ghost. And all of that reminds us, as the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. When it comes to God and his promise, there is nothing impossible with God. And so Peter initially trusts that promise from Jesus, the simple word, "come." And he trusts that and starts to walk out on the water. And he is placing his confidence in the promise of Christ and in the fact that the one he's believing in is the one who is above all the powers of nature. We're told this happens in the fourth watch of the night, which is usually from about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So this is deep, deep into the night and right before the dawn comes. And it's quite a scene to kind of picture it that way and to think of these men waking up in the middle of all of this, probably afraid, thinking they see a ghost. All of a sudden they realize it's our Lord and inviting Peter out onto the water. There's a passage in Hebrews that says it so beautifully. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One of our hymns puts it so well, by Petrus Herbert. Faith is a living power from heaven that grasps the promise God hath given, a trust that cannot be o'erthrown, fixed heartily on Christ alone. And so stepping out onto that water Peter gives us a beautiful example of what faith is all about, trusting in the words of Christ. But then the story changes. Suddenly the waves start to come up, and Peter's own assessment of the situation shifts away from what Christ has said and goes into his own brain. He starts to lean on his own understanding. He starts to examine the situation through the eyes of logic and going back to what he knows about the rules of the laws of nature. And because of this, our Lord now lets him begin to sink in the water. And you can imagine the panic now that started to take over. And it's a reminder to us, too, that when God gives us his words of promise, there are times when we may boldly grab that, but then there are other times when we start to kind of lean on our own understanding and look at things the way we think that they maybe should be, trying to make sense to our reason. There are really two different types or forms of questioning God. One is one that's stirred up in us by the Holy Spirit. It's a kind of a godly form of questioning. And that is when the Holy Spirit causes us to ask questions that drive us back toward our faith, drive us back to the Word of God, want to know more deeply what God would say to us, and so on. And or maybe cause us to go seek out somebody, a fellow Christian or a pastor that's going to guide us more deeply into that word of truth. So that's a divine type of questioning that can come up. But then there's this questioning that comes up from our own sinful nature. And that's what we see here with Peter. And that comes from a source of unbelief. It comes from a source of not really wanting to trust what God says. And when we doubt God and his word and kind of push his promises away and deny his truth, maybe even at times going so far as to doubt his existence, that is a different level and type of questioning. And all of us are tempted with that at times. Last summer, my sister and her husband took my wife and me to Ireland, and beautiful trip. And while we were there, we were out on kind of a large island to step out onto another island. It was about as far a distance as the length of the sanctuary, but it was a 100-foot drop between these two big rocks, if you will. And there was a large rope passageway that went between those two. And you could look through the slats of the rope down at the 100-foot drop below you to the ocean. And but there were people slowly walking across this kind of rope bridge. And it had a sign posted that said everything was safe. And it even had a date on there when it had recently been checked. And you could see people going ahead of you. But it was interesting to watch. Some people would just very timidly start to step out onto that rope bridge. And others just kind of walked right across. And little kids sometimes would go flying and running right across. As a whole different way. It's kind of a picture of how we can be about our faith sometimes. That God has given us his sure promises, and we kind of want to believe them, but at the same time, we maybe are a little hesitant and maybe a little squeamish about just how much should I really trust what God has said to me. So tonight through this text, I would encourage all of us to kind of take a spiritual checkup of our own faith. And think to yourself, where has God given me his promises in his word? And where do I believe him? And yet at the same time, maybe just gently creep out onto the bridge of his promises. Is it whether or not you're really forgiven for those sins that bother your conscience the most? Do you doubt that from God? He very clearly tells you throughout Scripture, all of our sins have been paid for through the blood of Christ. Is it whether or not you'll actually get to go to heaven someday? Is it possible that we're just like not sure about that? There's some insecurity in us because of that? Is it other things? Is it Is it things where Jesus tells us in the sacrament that his body and blood are present for the forgiveness of our sins? And that conflicts with our reason, of course. Is it maybe some things about baptism and what he promises us in baptism? Or it might even be stewardship. It might even be when we're going to give an offering to God. And we know that he promises to bless us generously when we give generously to him. But boy, it's a little hard to kind of let go of that because we're kind of leaning on how we think about it. Is it maybe his promises about how your body as a believer in Christ is going to rise back from the dead someday and be glorified and taken to heaven? Or is it maybe some moral issue that he addresses where you kind of look at it through the eyes of a culture today that kind of questions the word of God and maybe you're just not quite sure we should really trust what God says about it. Maybe our culture is wiser than God on that. There are a lot of different ways and places where we can start to lean on our own understanding and let that sort of overrule the very clear word of God. But when God gives his word, he places his very essence, who he is, on the line. One of God's defining divine attributes as God is his holiness, his perfection, which means he cannot lie to you. He cannot and will not lie to you. Because in essence, if he did, he would cease to be God. He would lose his holiness. It's impossible for God to lie to you. So when he gives you statements in his word that are very clear and wonderful promises, he puts his very essence as God on the line for you to be able to trust. In a sense, he puts himself into those promises. This is what Balaam said in the Old Testament. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So in the story, Jesus turns to Peter and says to him a very interesting line, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, notice that he doesn't say to him, "O you of no faith, why did you doubt?" But he says, "You of little faith." So he's recognizing that Peter still has faith, and yet at the same time, it is very weak and needs strengthening. But here's the wonderful thing about even a weak faith. Throughout Scripture, God tells us that even a tiny and weak faith in his promises and everything that still connects us to Christ and all of the powers over sin, death, and the devil that he brings us, it still connects us, even a weak faith still connects us to life in heaven that we have waiting for us. It still connects us to all the gracious promises that God gives us, even though we might be timid about our faith. The people going across that rope bridge in Ireland, they all made it across safely. Some of them just took a lot longer and their knees were shaking more than others. And yet they all made it across. Whether it was a child running across, completely trusting that bridge, or whether it was somebody very insecure. Even a weak faith still possesses the full blessings of God that he brings to us through Christ. No one in the history of the church, going back to Adam and Eve, no one in the history of the church of God has ever been let down by trusting one of his promises. And so we pray, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen.
Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.